Soundword State Ministry, Queensland. This cassette is a tribute to our beloved brother, Pastor Willie Mullen of Lurgan Baptist Church, Northern Ireland. Our brother was called home to glory just prior to Christmas 1980. Willie was born in 1911, and we praise God for what he has done through his servant. We at Sound Words count it a privilege to circulate this cassette of his funeral service outside his home in the town of Lurgan, and then at the graveside in the town in which he was born, Newtownards, not far from Belfast. Dr. Ian Paisley took both services, and we know as you listen, you will join with the hundreds, yea, thousands of mourners who gathered that day to hear and pay their last respects to our beloved brother. We too at Sound Words express our gratitude and thanks to our beloved brother Ivan Stafford of the International Tape Evangelism Fellowship Belfast for forwarding this cassette to us in the early part of January 1981. We recommend too you get the hold of a cassette which Dr. Ian Paisley made with Pastor Mullen, an interview he had with him, and it's entitled Contrasts. It's a real spiritual tonic, and it'll encourage your heart as you listen to it, and we trust you will avail yourself of this. Now we leave you to listen and join in with those who attended that funeral. May God bless you as you listen.
We're going to sing the first hymn on the sheet. There's a lamb that is fairer than thou. By faith we can see it afar, for the Father waits over the way to prepare us a dwelling place there.
There's a lamb that is fairer than thou, and by faith we can see it afar, for the Father waits over the way to prepare us a dwelling place there. In the sweet by and by, we shall meet on that beautiful shore. In the sweet by and by, we shall meet on that beautiful shore. We shall sing on that beautiful shore, that the Lord be a song of the blessed, and the spirit shall sorrow no more. Not a sigh for the blessing of blessed. In the sweet by and by, we shall meet on that beautiful shore. In the on that beautiful shore. To our bountiful Father above, we will offer the treasure of praise for the glorious gift of his love and the blessings that follow our day. In the sweet by and by, we shall meet on that beautiful shore. In the sweet by and by, we shall meet on that beautiful shore.
Let us bow in prayer. Our gracious God and Father, we bow very humbly this morning in thy presence in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes. Lord, we come before thy throne this morning with saddened hearts. We ask thee, our gracious God, that thou who art the God of all comfort, that thou would comfort each heart that mourns today. Amen. We bless thee, our gracious God, that thou art not only the God of all grace, but thou art the God of all comfort.
Yes.
And so we leave everything in thy gracious, tender, loving hand.
Amen.
We thank thee, our gracious God, that thou art like a father who pities your children.
Amen.
We bless thee, our gracious God, that thou hast promised never to leave us or forsake us. And as we bow today, Lord, we realize that our ways are not thy ways.
Yes.
And we realize there are things in life that we cannot understand.
Yes.
But we bless thee, thou wilt reveal them all in the glory land.
Amen.
And our gracious God, like one of old, we would say, I would rather walk in the dark with God than go alone in the light. I'd rather walk by faith with Him than go alone by sight.
Yes.
And so, Lord, we can leave all in thy care. We remember that thou didst say to Peter so long, long ago, what I doest now thou knowest not, but thou shalt know hereafter.
Amen.
And we believe, Lord, the mysteries of life will be unrolled to us, revealed to us on the other side.
Amen.
And our gracious God, there we shall know even as we are known.
Yes.
We thank thee for the memory of the one who has departed this life.
Amen.
We bless thee for the work, Lord, that thou allowed him to do in thy name.
Yes.
We thank thee for the day thou didst save him yonder in Newton Arm and bring him to yourself.
Amen.
The way you've blessed them. And Lord, we look back on almost over 50 years of fellowship together as boys in the same town, Lord, and as preachers of the old-fashioned gospel. Lord, we bless thee for those memories and ask thee, our gracious God, that thou would help us to keep true to thee in these dark days. We look to thee for thy blessing, Lord. Remember Mary and the boys and all the rest of them. Ask thee that thou'll be near them, and thou wilt bless them and help them, Lord, at this time, and just grant that comfort they need, that thou wilt comfort them with it at this time. So, Lord, undertake and bless and help, we pray, and glorify your name through it all, we beseech of thee, for Christ our Savior's sake.
Amen.
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 Amen. Amen. Amen. We're going to read the 103rd Psalm, Psalm 103. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Forget not all his benefits. Who forgiveth all thine iniquities, healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercy, who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord executeth righteousness and judgment for all that are oppressed. He made known his ways unto Moses, and his acts unto the children of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and plenteous in mercy. He will not always chide, neither will he keep his anger forever. He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. Like as the Father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. For he knoweth our frame. He remembereth that we are dust. As for man, his days are as grass, as the flower of the flea field, so he flourisheth. For the wind passeth over it, and it is gone. The place thereof shall know it no more. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear him, and his righteousness unto children's children. And we know God well, for he always does, honors and blesses his own precious word.
Going to call upon our brother, Mr. William Weatherall, to sing by special request of our late departed brother Willie, "The Storm Is Passing Over."
This was a particular favorite of Pastor Mullins. Now, if you know the chorus, will you please join in? Without music, it may be a wee bit difficult.
Courage, my soul, and let us journey on. Though the night is dark, it won't be very long. Thanks be to God, the morning light appears, and the storm is passing over. Hallelujah! 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 The storm is passing over. Hallelujah! Billows roll high and thunder shake the ground. The lightning flies, there's tempest all around. Jesus walks the sea and calms the angry wave, and the storm is passing over. Hallelujah! 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 The storm is passing over. Hallelujah! Stars disappear and distant lights grow dim. My soul is filled with fear, the seas are breaking in. I hear the Master cry, be not afraid, 'tis I, and the storm will soon be over. Hallelujah! 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 The storm will soon be over. Hallelujah! Now he has reached that distant shining shore.
Praise God.
Free from all the storms, he'll rest forevermore. Safe within the veil, beyond all earthly gale, and the storm for him is over. Hallelujah! 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 The storm for him is over. Hallelujah.
Praise God.
Praise the Lord.
Pray, amen. We meet today in very sad circumstances indeed. And this for us is a tragic hour. An eminent, honored, and much used servant of Christ. Perhaps one of the most eminent and most honored and most used servant of Christ in this generation, has died in mysterious and alarming circumstances, circumstances that have shaken us all and have cast a gloom over all our province and over all parts of the world in which our beloved brother's name and ministry was known. As God's servant today, I must honestly face the facts, and so must we all. We cannot run away from these facts, but as God's people, thank God we can meet them with the Bible in our hand. And this Bible has a message in the darkest hour. It has a light in the most difficult of circumstances, and it has sustaining promises in the hour of our deepest need. I want first of all to deal with the human circumstances surrounding the death of our beloved brother. And then I want to glean from the scriptures some lessons that God would have us learn at this solemn and testing hour. Our beloved brother had been passing during the past weeks through a period of deep physical, mental, and spiritual turmoil. Those of us who knew him knew about the effects of physical sickness upon his human frame. He had a stroke, and there were accumulating circumstances in his body which were danger signals that our brother's physical constitution was breaking up. In fact, to two of his brethren, he sat and wept. And he said, no one knows how really sick I am. And a few days ago, he had some long conversation with Mr. T.F. Thompson, T.B. Thompson of Garba. And he talked about his need to have hospitalization and to have a period of complete rest. Those of us who knew our brother knew that he didn't talk like that when he was at his usual self. His buoyancy, his courage, his joy, his zeal for the Lord were two prominent characteristics of his life. But with those physical disabilities, those danger signals that signified his physical anguish, he had great mental and spiritual anguish as well. He had a great fear of bodily attack. That was why he always had his loaded shotgun beside his bed. And that was why, no doubt, he carried that gun to that little study the day of his passing. I have been tremendously struck with the unique parallel between the death of our beloved brother Willie and the death of a great servant of God in the past century. Hugh Miller, one of the founding fathers of the Free Church of Scotland, the close associate of Thomas Chalmers and of Robert Murray McSheehan and the Bonner brothers. Hugh Miller died in similar circumstances to our beloved brother. His health broke, and he died like our brother by a shot from his own gun, discharged by his own hand. Now, even though our brother's mind and health was reeling, yet in the bewildering hour through which he was passing, and the horror of the terrible darkness which was descending upon his spirit, his faith in his Savior still held.
and amidst the ruin of his intellect, his tender heart for the Lord remained unbroken. I have in my hand a very precious document. It is a silent and eloquent witness to what I have just said, that our brother's tender heart and faith in Christ was unshaken to the very end. During the past weeks, our brother has been dwelling upon Psalm 69. I want to direct your attention to that psalm. It gives us a comment upon our departed brother's feeling, the spiritual strains and stress that he was under. And many of these stresses and strains came as a direct result of his labor of love for the Lord and his commitment to God's truth and service for Christ. This psalm he told his son that he was dwelling on continually. Let me read some of its tremendous verses. Save me, O God, for the waters are come in unto my soul. I sink in deep mire where there is no standing. I am come into deep waters where the floods overflow me. I am weary of my crying. My throat is dry. Mine eyes feel while I wait for my God. They that hate me without a cause are more than the hairs of mine head. They that would destroy me, being mine enemies wrongfully, are mighty. Then I restored that which I took not away. O God, thou knowest my foolishness, and my sins are not hid from thee. Let not them that wear of thee, O Lord God of hosts, be ashamed for my sake. Let not those that seek thee be confounded for my sake, O God of Israel. Because for thy sake I have borne reproach, shame hath covered my face. I have become a stranger unto my brethren, and of an alien unto my mother's children. When I wept and chastened my soul with fasting, that was my reproach. I made sackcloth also my garment, and I became a proverb to them. They that sit in the gate speak against me, and I was the song of the drunkard. And that psalm goes on with these terrible words. Deliver me out of the mire. Let me not sink. Let me be delivered from them that hate me, and out of the deep waters. Let not the water flood overflow me, neither let the deep swallow me up, and let not the pit shut her mouth upon me. Hear me, O Lord, for thy loving kindness is good. Turn unto me according to the multitude of thy tender mercies. And hide not thy face from thy servant. And that was the verse he quoted so often to his two sons. Hide not thy face from thy servant, for I am in trouble. Deliver me speedily. And in this little card that he carried about in a little book during his past days, he made his last outline, an outline on Psalm 69, the man, the mire, the midnight. And no one knows what the mire was like for Willie Mull. No one knows what that midnight was like for Willie Mullins. The magnet, the moment, the marks, the melody, and the mystery. He being dead, brethren, yet speaketh, and he speaketh today to all our hearts. Just for a few minutes, as I meditated upon our brother's passing, the Lord brought to my mind those verses that Jim has read for us. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. He knoweth our freedom. He remembereth that we are dust. There are three things that I want to draw your attention to in that great and wonderful promise. First of all, there's the Lord's mercy. Let's get our feet firm on this rock granite today. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. The Lord's mercy. Them that fear him. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And one day on that field, outside Newtonards, having listened to old Dr. Cocker preaching upon the great day of God for us, Willie Mullen, by the grace of God, began to fear the Lord. And God did a work of triumphant, sovereign, eternal grace in his heart, and he was born again for all eternity. God saved him by the precious blood of the Lamb. And let me say today, amidst the darkness and the mystery, that God's mercy is from everlasting to everlasting upon all of those that fear him. We have not only God's mercy in this text, but thank God we have God's mind in this text. He knoweth our freedom. God knows our freedom because he himself framed us. He made the body. This mysterious bit of flesh and blood, God formed it. But there's something that man cannot understand, and that's the spiritual part of man's being. The doctor with the body in the slab can dissect the brain, but he cannot understand the mind. That's beyond human dissection. And let me say today, we thank God that God's mind is, he knows our freedom. Oh God, thou dost know how frail I am. God knows the frailty of the human frame. And then we have God's memory. He remembereth that we are dust. There are things today that God doesn't remember. Thank God he doesn't remember our sins, for they're cleansed away in the blood of the Lamb forevermore. Out of the memory of God are the sins of God's redeemed people. But he remembers that we are but dust. And oh, we could dwell today upon the mercy of God that's unfeeling. It's unclimbable. The foot of man has never stood on the summit of the everlasting hills of God's mercy. The mercy of God is unreachable and unclimbable. I believe in mercy higher than the heavens today. Thank God the mercy of God is unfathomable. There's not a plumb line a man's making or imagination can measure the infinite depths of the mercy of God. And thank God today the mercies of God are inexhaustible. And in that little study, in the darkness, in the tragedy, in the sorrow, And in the mystery, there was one thing that still was there. It was the mercy of Almighty God. Mercies that cannot feel. No circumstances can dim them. No power of hell can quench them. No force of the devil can overthrow them. They stand triumphant in every circumstance. The mercy of Almighty God. And today, as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. He knoweth our friend. He knew our brother's friend. And he remembered that he was only dust. There are some lessons that we need to learn today. We need to learn this lesson, that the best of men at their best are only men at the best. You know, sometimes God's people commit a terrible sin and they think that God's servants are supermen. They think that they have some sort of distinguishing gifts that raise them above the temptations and the trials and the distresses and the disappointments of their ordinary fellow human beings. God had only one son, and he made him a minister. And when he made him a minister, he sent him down to this earth to be tempted in all points, like as we are, yet without sin. And let me tell you today that every man, the most honored, the most anointed, the most used, is only a man of the best. And the scriptures teach us that. What of old Father Abraham? What a man he was. A man that staggered not at the promises of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. But we read about his failures, and God doesn't cover them up. God records them so that we may take warning, and not only take warning, but be encouraged as we read of these great men of God. I was thinking today of one of the greatest of them all, the prophet of fire, Elijah. The man that confronted Ahab. The man that confounded the prophets of Baal. The man that challenged the nation. And then he ran away from Jezebel. He lay down under the tree. And he said, Lord, let me die. Lord, let me die. And commenting on that, the Holy Ghost said he was a man subject to like passions as we are. So I could go on. What of the mighty Samson himself? Yonder standing in the cathedral of the Philistines, the shrine of their worship. And he was prepared to take his own life in order that the lives of the enemies of God might come to an end. But when we turn to the New Testament, there steps out in the great chapter of faith that man Samson. Many people would have judged him in his day, but when the chapter was finally written, he stands vindicated by the God of heaven. Brethren, let's learn the lesson. And if ever you need it to pray for God's servants, you need to pray for them today. They're in the front line of the battle. They're meeting an onslaught that you know nothing about. There is one thing about every preacher, and it's this, that he walks a lonely path. There are paths that no one can accompany him along. And there's experiences that he must endure alone. And let us ever remember that. The second lesson we need to learn today, it's not what a man does before he's converted. It's not what a man does after he's converted that has anything to do with his salvation. That salvation is in Christ and of Christ alone. And we need to emphasize that today. We need to get our feet on the solid granite of the Lord. The Lord is our salvation. He doesn't change. No pellets from a shotgun can wipe out eternal life that's in the soul of a man that's redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Brethren, these are practical truths that we need to emphasize today. I give unto my sheep eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my Father's hand. We need to learn today that grace is a free, undeserved, unmerited favor of God. And if I'm ever going to get to heaven, it will be on free grace alone. And there was no man preached that truth and reveled in that truth more than our brother Willie Mullen. I remember him saying many times in my pulpit, how many sins did the Lord atone for? If he didn't atone for them all, then I'm a lost soul. But thank God, although they were all future, when Jesus died, he atoned for every one of them. And he used to say, remember, this is a family text. The Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. All our iniquities were laid on Jesus. Let's learn that truth today. Let's learn today that we're not saved by works before or after conversion. Many people would say, you're right, we're not saved by works before it. But then, having begun in the Spirit, they would try to perfect themselves in the flesh. But today we are saved by the free, undeserved, unmerited grace of God alone. That's the granite on which we stand. That's the impregnable rock of holy ages, the rock Christ Jesus, upon which we build. And then let us learn, finally, this great truth, that God's purposes and ways are not known to men. That God works out his own will after the counsel of his own heart. That he's absolutely sovereign in all his workings. None can stay his hand or say to him, what doest thou? That he's the God who works his own way after his own counsel. And one day, when it's all finished, we poor, frail mortals of the dust shall learn of the chronicles of God's eternal purpose, how God planned it all. Our brother had a favorite hymn. It was a hymn of Richard Baxter. I want to read you a few verses of it. It was a great blessing to him in these past few days. He used to read it to his sons. Lord, it belongs not to my care, whether I die or live, to love and serve thee is my share. And this thy grace must give. If life be long, I will be glad that I may long obey. If short, yet why should I be sad to welcome endless day? Christ leads me through no darker room than he went through before. He that into God's kingdom comes must enter by this door. Come, Lord, when grace hath made me meet thy blessed face to see. For if thy work on earth be sweet, what will thy glory be? My knowledge of that life is small. The eye of faith is dim. But 'tis enough that Christ knows all, and I shall be with him. And brethren, that is the message that I would like to leave with you. There is one portion of Scripture, and when I heard of my dear brother's passing, this verse of Scripture arose with great power in my soul, and I want just to finish today by reading these few words of Scripture to you. They are, of course, the lament of David over Jonathan, and what a lament they are. And as I thought about our brother's passing, I thought how appropriate these words were to all our anguish and to all our grief, because nothing has gone into our soul like the death of our dear brother. Tell it not in Gath, publish it not in the streets of the Philistines, lest the daughters tell it not in the streets of Ascalon, lest the daughters of the Philistines rejoice, lest the daughters of the uncircumcised triumph. Ye mountains of Gilboa, let there be no dew, neither let there be rain upon you, nor fields of offerings. For there the shield of the mighty is vilely cast away, the shield of Saul, as though he had not been anointed with oil. From the blood of the slain, from the fat of the mighty, the bow of Jonathan turned not back, and the sword of Saul returned not empty. Saul and Jonathan were lovely and pleasant in their lives, and in their death they were not divided. They were swifter than eagles. They were stronger than lions. Ye daughters of Israel, weep over Saul, who clothed you in scarlet with other delights, who put on ornaments of gold upon your apparel. How are the mighty fallen in the midst of the battle? O Jonathan, thou wast slain in thy high places. I am distressed for thee, my brother Jonathan. Very pleasant hast thou been to me. Thy love to me was wonderful, passing the love of woman. How are the mighty fallen, and the weapons of war perished. If there be any here today, and you know that the Lord Jesus Christ, could I say to you today, you need him. You need him in time. You need him in death. You need him at the judgment bar. You need him for all eternity. Soon the place that knows you will know you no more forever. We are going down the valley, one by one, with our faces toward the setting of the sun. Dear unsaved one, dear Christless one, dear unregenerate one, this day come to Christ. Close with the Savior. Call upon his name. Thank God, he will save you. Hallelujah. He will save you now. May God give us all grace, and whatever our need, may meet it in the inexhaustible treasures of that mighty grace. We're going to sing a very appropriate hymn. Our brother Donnie found this hymn. That's number written in a little note that our brother left. And I know that this sums up the desire and the joy and the goal of our brother Willie. When my life's work is ended and I cross the swelling tide. Amen.
When my life's work is ended and I cross the swelling tide, when the bright and glorious morning I shall see,
I will be the first to welcome thee. I shall know him. I shall know him. As reading by his side.
Please turn your cassette now over to side B for the address taken at the graveside. Side B. Turn over at this point to side B.
I shall know him. I shall know him by the print of the nails in his hand. Oh, the soul thrilling rapture when I view his blessed face and the luster of his kind beaming eyes. All my full heart will praise him for his mercy, love, and grace that prepares for me a mansion in the sky. I shall know him. I shall know him. As redeemed by his cross, I shall know him. I shall know him by the print of the nails in his hand. Oh, the dear ones in glory, how they beckon me to come, and our parting at the river I recall. To the sweet vales of Eden, I shall sing my welcome home. But I long to meet my Savior first of all. I shall know him. I shall know him. As redeemed by his side, I shall stand. I shall know. Lead me where no tear shall ever fall. In the glad song of ages, I shall mingle with delight. But I long to meet my Savior first of all. I shall know him. I shall know him. As redeemed by his side, I shall stand. I shall know him, I shall know him, by the print of the nails in his hand. Oh, that will
be glory for me, glory for me, glory for me. When by His grace I shall look on His face, that will be glory. Father in heaven, we thank Thee today that God is a God that pitieth His children, that He pitieth all of those that fear Him. He's our Father. Thank God we have seen Thy mercy in the book. We have seen Thy mind in the book. And we have seen Thy memory in the book, and our hearts are refreshed, our souls are blessed. We can go out and face the future, knowing that it is well with our brother. And bless God, it is well with my soul. Bless our sister Mary, put Your loving arms around her. Help her to hear the still, small voice. Help her to know the touch of the nail-pierced hand. Bless Donnie and Michael here in Your presence. Thank God they're Your children. Thank God they know their father's thought and they love their mother's Savior. And we thank Thee that they're on their way up Zion's hill. Bless their dear wives. Bless the little ones today. The grandchildren. And oh God, we thank Thee that blessed are the dead that die in the Lord. Yea, saith the Spirit, for they rest for their labors and their works do follow them. We thank Thee for the great multitude of saved men and women that came to Christ through the ministry of our brother. He that winneth souls is wise, and our brother was wise in the winning of souls. And those that turn many to righteousness shall shine as the stars forever and ever. And bless God, there's a shining star in the firmament of heaven today. A brother that's gone in to see the King in His beauty, and the trumpets have sounded on the other side. Lord, bless us as we labor here below. Keep us faithful. Keep us strong. Keep us true until the day comes when we cross the river. Friends, I am there that I have loved long ago. And we think of our brother today and countless more that are in the glory land. We're going to meet them again in the sweet by and by. We'll see them, but best of all, we'll see Jesus and sing and shout the victory. As we travel to the burying ground, go with us. And around the grave, give us a word to men and women, we pray. And grant that this day God's signal blessing and divine benediction may be upon us and upon the people of God. Oh, spread Thy covering wings around. Till all our wanderings cease, then at our Father's blessed abode, we'll all arrive in peace. And now unto Him who is able to keep you from falling, and to present you without a flaw before the glory of His presence with exceeding joy, to the only wise God our Savior, be glory, majesty, dominion and power, now and forevermore. And the people of God said and shouted, Hallelujah, Amen, and Amen.
I looked and lo, from Calvary's cross, a healing fountain my heart, and now I sing, praise.
gracious eternal Father, as we bow again in thy holy presence, we thank thee from the depths of our hearts that we can sing, I am redeemed. We bless thee for the blood that has cleansed us, the blood that has redeemed us and made us thine. And we thank thee, our God, today that the blood shall never lose its power till all the ransomed of Church of God be saved to sin no more. O Lord, we thank thee for all that thou hast done for us and all that thou dost mean to us. And as we stand today at this open grave, Lord, we pray that thou would help us to number our days and apply our hearts to wisdom. And grant, our God, that we who are thine, that we may live for thy glory, that we may live close to thee as the days go by. And grant, our gracious God, at the end of life, we may hear thee say, well done, good and faithful servant. Remember those who will stand around this grave today who know not Jesus Christ as their Savior. Our God, help them to realize that life will end someday. And grant our Father God that they may make that great choice of Christ before that moment arrives, that they may know that they're in the glory. As we stand around this open grave, Lord, we thank thee for the memories of the one who's gone.
Yes.
Lord, for over 50 years we have known and walked and played with him and preached with him down through the years. Lord, we pray that thou would just help at this time. You know all about it. You know just the things that are in our minds. You know the sadness that are in our hearts. But Lord, we leave all with thee. We know that thou art the God who knows the best, and your ways are not our ways. We do pray for those who mourn. We realize, our gracious God, for that wee woman yonder in Lurgan today. We know our hearts broke so hard, Lord, but we thank thee thou art still the God who can comfort. And we pray thou wilt draw near and pour in the oil and wine. Thou wilt be very near her, Lord. Thou hast promised to be a husband to the widow and a father to the fatherless. Lord, you'll keep your word. We know you will. You never break it. Bless Donald and Michael. Thank thee for them. They're thine. Praise thee, our God, for the stand they have took. Bless all the family circle. We leave them all in thy care. So, Lord, undertake and help as we stand at this grave. Bless our friend as he speaks to us. Grant our gracious God that again we may feel the presence of the Lord, and that the voice of God may be heard at this open grave. For Jesus Christ our Savior's sake. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Men, if you want to put on your hats, it's quite all right. It's cold. It'll be no dishonor to the Word of God. If you feel the cold, just put your hat on. I understand. We're reading some verses from the Epistle to the Corinthians, the first letter in chapter 15. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received and wherein you stand, by which also ye are saved if ye keep in memory what I have preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which also I received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. Every man in his own order, Christ the first fruits, afterward they that are Christ at his coming. Then cometh the end, and he shall have delivered up the kingdom to God, even the Father, when he shall have put down all rule and all authority. For he must reign till he hath put all enemies under his feet. The last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, the dead shall be raised incorruptible, we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption. This mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin. The strength of sin is the law. But thanks be unto God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. We know the Lord well bless his own precious work.
Brethren, the word of God says, the last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. And over in the book of Jeremiah, there is a word of the prophet, a word of judgment. And the prophet says, this year thou shalt die. The last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. And this year thou shalt die. I want to dwell on those words for a moment or two. Death, firstly defined, it is an enemy. Death, further described, it's the last enemy. Death, finally destroyed. Thank God it will be destroyed. And standing on the verge of this grave, we say in triumph, O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting has been removed by the nail-pierced hand of Christ. And the victory of the tomb has been eternally smashed in the glorious resurrection of the Savior. And because he lives, we shall live also. And then we have death faithfully declared. This year thou shalt die. Death firstly defined. It's an enemy. It's not a man standing around this grave today doesn't know that death's an enemy. We know that death's an enemy. Some of us here have lost a very dear friend. One whom we love. One who we were close with. One we knelt in prayer with. One around whose shoulders we often put our arm and had sweet and blessed fellowship together. Death's an enemy. It has robbed us of a friend beloved. There are two men standing here, and they know that death's an enemy. For death has taken their dear father from them. Robbed them of a dear man of God. A father who prayed for them. Who instructed them in the things of God, and who saw them led to Christ, to the place of pardon and peace. And they know that death is an enemy. There's a dear wee mother down there in Windsor Avenue today, our sister Mary Mullen, and she knows that death's an enemy. There's a vacant chair. Her beloved partner, her dear one, will never sit in that chair again. Why? Because death is an enemy. Yes, and the town of Lurgan knows that death is an enemy. A man that was at the back and call of suffering, sorrowing, and disheartened and depressed people, at all hours of the day and night got in touch with them for help, comfort, solace, and encouragement. He's no longer there. An enemy has been at work. An enemy has done this. And he's gone. And what shall I say of the whole church of Jesus Christ? From many, many places, from many denominations, from all sections of the Christian community, there goes up a groan today to heaven. We have lost a brother beloved. His vacancy in the pulpit, his vacancy on the gospel platform, his vacancy among God's people. We know an enemy has done this. And what is more, our dear brother Willie knew that death was an enemy. In the closing moments of his life, when the dark shadows came down, when the door was shut, that it's not for us to open, and will only be explained to us when we see face to face, for now we see through a glass darkly. But Willie knew that death was an enemy. Death is an enemy. It's an intruder. When the world was made, there was no death. Death is the firstborn of sin. By one man, sin entered into the world, and death by sin. And so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. But I want to tell you, dear unsaved one, that death is a terrible enemy for you. For some of us, we know that that enemy has been dealt with. We know that we'll never cross Jordan alone. We know that we'll not face the King of Terrors and the terror of kings on our own. But when death comes, it'll be a real enemy for you. It's going to rob you of your opportunity ever to be seen. And that's the greatest opportunity a man can have. Not for pleasure, not for riches, not for placings among society, but the opportunity to hear the gospel, the opportunity to hear the sweet message of God's love, the message of the bleeding Savior, the substitute Son of God, the way of salvation through faith by grace alone. That opportunity will be gone. Be too late to preach over your grave, friend. Too late to pray for you when the shroud's in the corpse. Tell me, if this was your grave, would it be a Christless grave? Would it be a Christless corpse in a Christless shroud, and your soul in a Christless hell? Face it today, friend. Death is an enemy. Death's going to take from you your own soul. What shall a man give in exchange for his soul? But the text has death further described. Bless God, even in this word, there's a word of hope for us. It's the last enemy. Now, we all have to face enemies down here, and we have many battles to fight. We have to fight enemies of the body, enemies of the mind, enemies of the soul. We all have our sadness. We all know what it is to pull down the blinds, to wear the black clothes of mourning, to weep over our loved ones. We all have to fight life's battles. But one day, there's going to be the final battle. The last enemy. We breathe 17,000 breaths a day, and we'll only breathe, thank God, one last breath. We're going to meet the last enemy. But I'm and I glad today that there was one who met that enemy. The one who came from heaven's glory to our shame. The one who was rich yet for our sakes became poor. The one who came from God's throne to the manger to be among the cattle. The Word made flesh. And the one who walked to Calvary. And the one who died upon that cross for you and me. See from his head, his hands, his feet, sorrow and love flow mingled down, that ere such love or sorrows meet, or thorns compose so rich a crown, he met the last enemy. Death finally destroyed. The last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. Death has had its celebration over our brother's body. But the final celebration will be over the corpse of death itself. One day this coffin lid will split. One day this grave will give up its these earthly remains. One day on the lip of this grave, the redeemed body of Willie Mullen, united to its glorified spirit, shall arise up when the trumpet sounds, and we shall all be changed at the twinkling of an eye at the last trump, when the dead in Christ shall rise first, and we that are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. So shall we ever be with the Lord. Thank God there's a voice that's going to say, give forth, and this grave shall give forth, and this body shall come forth, and there'll not be a mark upon it.
Amen.
Praise God, it'll be a redeemed body, made like unto the Lord's most glorious body. Brethren, while there is mourning, and when they carried Stephen to that grave, there was great lamentation. But praise God, there's joy today. We sorrow not even as those who have no hope. For if we believe Jesus died and rose again, those also that sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. Our brother had a favorite hymn. It's an old hymn. It's not in your sheet. It was written by Richard Baxter, the Puritan, and the prisoner in those days of severe punishment. And he read this often in the last days he was upon this earth. He called his son's attention to it. Christ leads me through no darker rooms. Just let me get these back up. Lord, it belongs not to my care, whether I live or die, to love and serve thee is my share, and this thy grace must give. If life be long, I will be glad that I may long obey. If short, yet why should I be sad to welcome endless day? Christ leads me through no darker rooms than he went through before. He that into God's kingdom comes must enter by this door. Come, Lord, when grace hath made me meet thy blessed face to see. For if thy work on earth be sweet, what will thy glory be? My knowledge of that life is small. The eye of faith is dim. But 'tis enough that Christ knows all, and I shall be with him. With him?
Amen.
The last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. Death finally destroyed. Death faithfully declared, this year thou shalt die. There's not a man here who knows who next will pass this way. It could be the preacher. It could be some hearer standing in the crowd today. Tell me, how is it with your soul? You know, that verse came to me as I thought upon our brother's passing. The word of the prophet's servant to a poor, stricken woman. She had laid the dead body of her child on the prophet's bed. Her hope was gone. The light of life was extinguished. And the old prophet said, is it well with the child? And she answered, it is well. The only thing that's worthwhile is to know, friend, it's well with your soul. And there was one thing that Willie would want me to do today, and that would be invite sinners to the cross, to invite men and women around this open-air graveside to come to the Lord Jesus Christ and receive him as their own and personal Savior. The Lord is here. He's here in a peculiar manner. We are privileged to stand here. This is an historic occasion in the history of God's work in Northern Ireland. Friend, you're here not seeing. Meet Christ today. Go from this graveside with everlasting life burning within your soul. He that hath the Son hath life. And that's what you need today. It's not a church or a sacrament. It's Christ and Christ alone. God grant today you'll close with him. Just come to him now. The gospel invitation, how wonderful it is. Him that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out. What a take in. Mr. Nicholson used to say you get many takes in life. But what a take in this is, to be taken into Jesus. May God help man and woman to be taken in to Christ. Brother Willie, we're not saying goodbye. We're only saying good night. We're going to meet you in the morning. You love the Savior. In a little field not far from here, after hearing the word of God under Brother Tucker, you fled for refuge and you laid hold on eternal life when you were born again. You loved the Lord. You loved His book. And you loved His people. You preached the gospel faithfully. You prayed with earnestness. You were a shepherd to the flock. We will no longer join you behind the shafts of the gospel plow. You have gone to your reward. But we'll meet you. And our last word is, today we praise God for you. And tomorrow we'll praise God with you. Amen and amen.
Friends, I would like you to sing just now the glory song. I want you to sing it for my dad, and I want you to sing it for Don. I want you to sing it for me, and I want you to sing it for my mother. The glory song. Glory, glory, hallelujah.
When all my labors and trials are o'er, and I am safe on that beautiful shore, just to be near the dear Lord I adore, will through the ages be glory for me. Oh, that will be glory for me.
Before we pray, on behalf of the Mullen family, Mrs. Mullen,
and Donnie and Michael and their wives, the little ones, the grandchildren, I like to say for them and in their name a very warm and sincere thank you to the great warmth of love and friendship and help and Christian grace that has been imparted to them through the people of God at this time. We'd like to say thank you in their name to you. And we'd like to especially thank the members of the Royal Ulster Constabulary,
yes,
who did such a special job today in getting all the funeral cars through all the intersections in the city and right through to Newton Arch. I thought it was a fine tribute to a great man of God. And you know, I remember Willie saying to me after I was saved, James McKendrick came to Newton Arch for a mission. And he said, I got friendly with the preacher. And one day I was walking down the street, and he said, James McKendrick stopped. And he said, Willie, if all this crowd walking along the pavements of Newton Arch knew who we were, they'd be taking off their hats. And Willie said, I looked at him and I said, sir, they might take their hats off to you, but certainly not to an old tramp like me. And the great man of God put his hand on his shoulder, and he said, Willie, now are we the sons of God.
Amen.
And it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And you know, I smiled today as I saw those policemen salute the cortege, the man that was once a down-and-out sinner, saved by grace. Even the authorities of the land paid him a high respect today, and for this we are grateful to everyone, to the funeral undertaker, and to all who did their job. We say thank you in the Savior's name. Your work and labor of love will not go unrewarded. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we thank thee that we have had thy blessed presence with us over these past days, and especially at these services. We thank thee for wisdom. We thank thee for help. We thank thee for grace. And today, Lord, as we're going away, we're not going away sad but glad. We're not going away in a gloom. We're going away with a glimpse of glory in our souls. Our brother has gone in to see the King in his beauty. He has reached the land of far distances, and yonder he stands in a robe of white, praising his Lord. Lord, he won souls for thee down here. He was wise in the winning of souls. And thou hast said that those that turn many to righteousness shall shine as the stars forever and ever. And we thank thee that no pellets from a shotgun can extinguish that star. It'll shine forever in the Milky Way of heaven because he had everlasting life. We bless thee for the triumph of grace in the life of Willie Muller.
Hallelujah.
And we bless thee that grace where sin abounded, grace did superabound. And we saw it, and it was the work of God indeed. Bless our sister Mary today. Put your arms around her. Whisper sweet peace to her heart. We thank thee for Donnie and Michael, for the grace of God given to them.
Amen.
We thank thee that today they know their mother's Savior and they know their father's God. And they're walking with the Lord. Bless their dear wives and their little ones. Be with them especially. And bless our dear province. Send to us more gospel preachers like Willie Mullen. Send us more men of God like this dear servant. Send us more mightily used servants of the Savior. And grant those of us who are left to keep our handles to the plow. May we not look back, but may we plow a straight furrow and keep right on to the end. Fighting the good fight, enduring the cross, despising the shame. And now may thy grace and thy mercy and thy peace be with us all today, tonight, and tomorrow. until the day breaks and the shadows all flee away. And the people of God said,
Amen.
And shouted, Hallelujah. Amen.